On the eve of the annual AFL-CIO convention in New York, the union's executive committee reported out a sweeping program aimed at cutting into America's chronically high unemployment rate. Included a $10 billion tax cut and a 35-hour work week. At the heart of the unemployment problem, of course, lies the rapidly spreading process called automation. Harry Reasoner reports.
This is a machine reading. It's called an optical scanner, and every time that light flashes, it reads 2.5 lines of complicated information, reads it, and puts it on a card in a form that a computer can understand and act upon. Here at the data scanning division of the New Era Letter Company in New York, they estimate that this indefatigable reader does the work that some 600 careful girls could do, and that even considering that the information has to be typed before the machine can read it, that it cuts in half the number of people required for a given job. Because the machine is errorless and tireless and understands the requirements of other machines that use its product in a way that no human being is equipped to do. And that's automation, the scare word or the hope word of the century, depending on your viewpoint. It pops up in a new context every day, from massive operations in big industries to the fussiest kind of precision work, to complicated clerical operations in banks and big offices. We went to Professor Charles Killingsworth of Michigan State University to find out what it is and where it's taking us.
Dr. Killingsworth, we talk an awful lot about automation these days, and some of us are not quite clear what we mean. Is there a good, short definition of it?
I think you're right. There is a great deal of misuse and loose use of the word. I think the best short definition is simply automatic operation. Automation is nothing more than a shortcut way of saying automatic operation.
Is it always something that puts people out of work and saves money? Is it a matter of turning the world over to machines?
There's a common saying, automation in Detroit can cause unemployment in South Bend, meaning that the economy is very interrelated, and one company in an industry can automate and improve its competitive position and put out of business a firm that never automates at all.
You mean you can produce cars with just one fellow in a control room?
You don't find that in the automobile industry. You do find installations in the automobile industry where one giant machine takes an engine block and performs all of the machining operations on it and reduces the labor requirements for that particular operation by 90%. You find some installations in steel mills where the operator really becomes what I call a witness. He simply sits in an air-conditioned control booth. He watches for a light to go on or a buzzer to sound. And 98% of the time, he does nothing except sit there. In oil refineries, you find a similar situation where there's an electronic computer which is completely in charge of this plant. You still have an operator on hand in case of unanticipated emergency. But as the saying goes in industry now, this man is really earning his money best when he's doing nothing.
How did he get started?
There have been many kinds of automatic operation in American industry. To some extent, work along the assembly line way back in the 1920s and earlier involved certain kinds of automatic tools. I think the difference today is that we are developing highly complex, completely self-regulating systems. And we are developing automation in areas where people had never even dreamed it was possible.
Areas like what? What's an example?
Language translation, automatic language translation would be one example. Machines are being developed that can read and write as well as do arithmetic. Of course, they've been doing arithmetic for a long time. There are machines that can learn from experience. One machine can play a game of checkers, remember all of the moves that it makes, analyze its successes and failures, and improve its performance on the basis of this analysis. It is moving very fast, much faster than most people are willing to recognize.
What will the effect be on the economy and on the labor force in the short run?
automation helps to push down the demand for labor at the lower end of the scale. The jobs that today are most easily and readily automated are the simple, repetitive jobs where you don't need anything but your fingers and your eyes and very little training or experience. At the same time that it's pushing down the demand at the lower end of the scale, it pushes up the demand at the higher end of the scale because of the need for these engineers and mathematicians and various other highly trained people to install and maintain and administer these automatic systems.
10 years from now, would either you or I be here, or would two machines be conducting this interview?
Perish the thought.
Well, where do we and our marvelous mechanical replacements go from here? Some ideas on that now from Eric Severide. Everybody knows that some individuals are so efficient, they work themselves out of their job. Now, as Professor Killingsworth just suggested, the whole country is busy working itself out of its job. But not quite, because with automation everywhere, the smartest and best educated people will be working, probably harder than ever, to support the uneducated and the stupid, who will find less and less work to do. This has American moralists and philosophers breaking out in a rash already. This situation will be wildly unfair, of course, but who is the victim? The loafing set, not the working set. Because work is a habit several thousand years old, and people deprived of work go quietly to pieces or to basketball games. The only reason leisure is fun is that you've just got off work and know you're going back to work. The habitually idle, poor or rich, take to drink, crime, writing letters to the editor, or selling real estate. The truth is that constructive loafing is extremely hard work that only a few people have mastered. Tens of millions of Americans now must be taught this art. Educators agree that their course of training for a life of ease must be harsh and rigorous training, something like those Spartan, ice-cold private schools in which the British upper class educates its young. But this isn't the end of the problem. Whatever activities the unemployable are put to must make them feel useful, another psychological necessity. That immediately puts an outer limit on finger painting and museum going. The work invented for them must be disguised to appear necessary. Fortunately, America already has some experience at this vital deception, in government bureaus, in academic research, in growing crops for storage. There is, of course, one radical solution to the whole problem. Take the work away from the automation machines, give it back to the people, and let the machines have the nervous breakdown. This is Eric Severide in New York.